It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The U.S. Senate is scheduled to hold a cloture vote this morning to close debate on the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. While this is not the confirmation vote itself, it will be a key indicator of whether Republicans have the necessary votes to approve Judge Kavanaugh. Stay tuned for special coverage starting at 8:30 this morning on the Ideas Network. Cooperatives, or co-ops, can be found all over the state of Wisconsin. These are organizations equally owned and controlled by their members. While many associate co-ops with agriculture, places like your credit union or healthcare provider may also be one. You may even still get your electricity from a co-op. With October being National Cooperative Month, we take a look at the range and impacts of cooperatives in the state and what they can bring to a local economy. Are you a member of a co-op? Why? And what do you see as the benefits of this ownership model? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Daniel Smith is the president and CEO of Cooperative Network, which aims to protect and promote Minnesota and Wisconsin's cooperative businesses. Daniel, welcome to the Morning Show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
First off, can you define what a cooperative or co-op actually is?
Sure. Co-ops follow a set of cooperative principles that, among other goals, ensure profits are returned to the owner members. Democratic controls are in place, and there is a shared sense of community and cooperation. So unlike corporations or privately held businesses, the sole purpose of a cooperative is to maximize benefits to its members rather than to shareholders or to an individual owner.
I would like to know what our audience thinks about cooperatives. Are you a member of a co-op? Have you been one? Why were you or why are you a member of a cooperative? And what do you think are the benefits of this ownership model? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking with Daniel Smith, president and CEO of the Cooperative Network, which aims to protect and promote Minnesota and Wisconsin's cooperative businesses. So, Daniel, give us a sense of the range and scope of co-ops in Wisconsin and Minnesota. What kind of organizations are using this model?
Sure. Well, one in three Americans across the nation belong to a cooperative. And co-ops, as we say, are everywhere and exist in most every business sector. Here at Cooperative Network, we support cooperative members from a dozen business sectors, including credit unions, housing, agricultural cooperatives, healthcare, mutual insurance, telecommunications, energy, and worker cooperatives. Our members are located all across Wisconsin and Minnesota, and they vary in size from the very small to some of the largest cooperatives in the world.
And I think you mentioned a couple of co-ops that people might not think about when they think of cooperatives, and that's energy and telecommunications. For a lot of people in rural Wisconsin and Minnesota, they wouldn't have gotten electricity or phone service without a cooperative, would they?
Exactly. You know, the upper Midwest has a strong heritage of cooperatives as people came together to meet a common need over time. When you look back at our history, those common needs existed in how to get energy into their homes, how to purchase goods and services for their businesses or farms, and then also how to process and market their production. And people realized that by coming together into a cooperative business model, that that provided the democratic control and member participation that they really valued. It gave them the opportunity to remain in control of their needs for goods and services and to benefit from their success.
So let's talk about consumer benefits of cooperatives. What are the benefits to local communities and economies from having a cooperative?
Well, cooperatives really engage the community. They help build communities. They build social engagement, communication, civic responsibility, and shared risk and reward. So we may think that in today's world we can buy everything we need off the app on our phone, but cooperatives really require a full participation of the members. They follow seven cooperative principles that, among other goals, ensure that those profits are returned to the owner members and that democratic controls are in place. We believe that cooperatives are an excellent way for our society to remain engaged and members to have control over their business activities and shared community values.
We have a caller who wants to join us. Let's go up to Grand Marsh and hear from Jeff. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I think I'm a prime example of what the electric co-op does for us. The road I live on, for the 2 miles where I turn off to my house, there's only five of us. And Allied or Alliant would not run a line along there for five people. It just, you know, it probably cost us $300-$400 a month for an electric bill. And many people just don't understand that. They complain that our prices are a little higher, a penny or two per kilowatt, but otherwise you just don't get it. You're not going to have electricity without a co-op.
All right, Jeff, thanks for that call. Here's a prime example, Daniel Smith, of what we were talking about just a moment ago.
Exactly, and it really, thank you for those comments, and it really goes back to the member control. The members have the ability, as part of a co-op, to ensure that their needs and wants are addressed through the governance and the democratic controls of the cooperative. And the electric industry is a perfect example of how people came together to build a industry based on their needs and to return the maximum value to the members instead of to outside sources.
You say that your local cooperatives, or our local cooperatives, are facing unprecedented challenges these days. What sorts of challenges are you talking about here?
Well, same that we're seeing all across our economy and our society and culture. So there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions between co-ops. So smaller co-ops are coming together to maximize their size and their ability. So we may have two or three different cooperatives that join together. So that changes a few things. It changes the board governance and changes the culture of the co-op in some places, but it also brings some opportunities for maximizing value and return to their customers, to their members. We're also seeing the same issues that all businesses have in retention of the workforce, attracting new people into the cooperative. There is a commitment when you join a cooperative that you need to be involved, or you should be involved, and serve on their possibility of serving on boards. So it is an engagement opportunity. And as we become more and more isolated as a society, that has been difficult to foster in some areas.
What we've got about 30 seconds. What gives you hope for the future of co-ops in Wisconsin?
I believe that co-ops have the opportunity to fulfill the needs of our communities, both rural and urban, for in areas such as childcare, elder care, housing, food, transportation, and communication. Over history, wherever there has been a need, cooperatives have provided a means for people to come together and address that need. I believe that our existing cooperatives in the traditional areas of energy or agriculture, healthcare, mutual insurance, those areas will continue to provide great.
And Dan, we'll have to leave it there. Daniel Smith is president and CEO of Cooperative Network. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. I'm John Munson. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Apples, like the brightly colored leaves of maple trees and pumpkin spice everything, apples are a certain sign of fall. And we grow a lot of them in Wisconsin. We also celebrate them, particularly up in Bayfield, where the Apple Festival, which starts today, by the way, attracts about 50,000 visitors to this tiny little Wisconsin town every year. We'll start by getting some general information on growing apples in Wisconsin and then zoom in on the Bayfield Apple Festival. What are your favorite apples that you always make sure to get some of each fall? What questions do you have about apple orchards? Are you interested in planting an apple tree of your own? Well, we have some answers for you this hour on The Morning Show. And call in with your question or your apple comment, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Wayne Geist is the president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association and the owner of Bushel and a Peck Apple Orchard. Wayne, welcome back to The Morning Show.
Morning, John. Thank you.
So tell us about the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association and the kind of work that they do.
Well, it's an association of apple growers, obviously, farmers. Whether or not you have one tree or 50,000 trees, you're welcome to join the Apple Growers Association. And it's truly just a group of people sharing their knowledge, experience, and ideas on how to grow apples.
And where can orchard growers go if they're looking for more information about crop maintenance?
You know, the UW system has a very good agricultural department, and they do supply a lot of great information on apples, the trees themselves, maintenance, different pests, different diseases. So the UW system or UW Extension system is a very good place to go.
So let's talk about this year's Wisconsin apple crop. How's it looking this year?
Well, I would say overall it's looking very good. You know, everybody, depending on where you are in the state, have had your difficulties. Southern Wisconsin or Madison area, you guys have flooding. You know, it's a lot of water. Northern Wisconsin, various parts were declared drought at one point in the summertime. So we've had our difficulties, but we've made it through again.
So weather is always a major challenge for, well, growing anything. I mean, they say there are no atheists in foxholes. I don't know. I think that might apply to farming as well. So besides weather, what are some of the other challenges that apple growers face during the season?
Well, obviously, yes. Weather is probably the biggest part of it. But, you know, apple trees are a year-round concern, truly. I mean, the winter time you have whether or not they're going to get frost damage or freeze damage, the roots are going to get damaged. Come springtime, as they're starting to come out of their dormancy, nutrients are a big factor, you know, and nutrients are a big factor throughout the growing season, obviously. You know, fruit set, pruning, a lot of the pruning is done when the trees are dormant, or should be, most of it. You know, and then making sure you have a decent-sized crop load on there, that you're not overbearing the tree to possibly throw it into a biannual bearing system. So, yeah, just several different aspects of it.
We're talking about apples. Wayne Geist is the president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association and the owner of Bushel and a Peck Apple Orchards. What are your favorite apples that you make sure to pick each fall? Let us know, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So what is it about Wisconsin that makes it such a great place to grow apples? Is it something in the soil, the kind of water we have here, what the last glacier left behind? What is it that makes our state a good place to grow apples?
I would say yes, all of the above. Our climate is very conducive. Our falls, we get the cooling temperatures, which help bring out the sweetness and the color of the apples. Soil is typically going to be very rich. I mean, even some of the sandier soils are somewhat good. Yeah, I would say just all of the above. I know a geologist this summer had stopped out to our place and had talked about the amount of loess deposit of soil that was in this general area, which we have several orchards throughout this area.
The if someone was interested in planting just planting some apple trees in their yard, what advice would you give them?
Well, again, I'd say two different varieties, making sure that you can cross-pollinate. Watch the fertilizing of your yard. If you fertilize trees, I know I talked to several people that said they never get apples. If they're fertilizing, the apple tree is going to want to put it into growth instead of into apples. So soil nutrition is a major part of it, much like growing anything. And then making sure that you do not only soil samples, but you do leaf samples as well. So you do an analysis on what nutrition's in the leaf. That way you know, okay, I may have calcium in the soil, but it's not getting to the tree. You know, you may have an pH imbalance or something like that. So the soil sample, leaf sample, is going to be very important to make sure you have proper nutrients going into that tree.
What is the what's the most popular variety of apple grown in Wisconsin?
Well, I would say the Honeycrisp and Pizzazz apple.
And those are some recent some varieties that have been added recently, or that I mean, especially the Honeycrisp. That one is kind of the hot new apple. Of course, it's been in development for years, but those are fairly recent. Are there some traditional apple varieties that we grow in Wisconsin that you don't find a lot elsewhere?
No, there's, I mean, the traditional Max, the Cortlands, McIntosh, Cortland, Regents. There are some, and all depending on where you are, McCoon, McCowan, they call it. There, you know, a lot of that is found in Wisconsin and mainly just in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. And are there some varieties of apple that grow well in one part of the state, but maybe not in some other part of the state?
You know, with the advancements in agriculture, I would say no, not really. For the most part, a lot of people are going into the high-density planting if you're getting into major production. It's irrigated. You typically have frost fans or some sort of protection from Mother Nature in the spring. So A lot of these newer trees, a lot of these newer varieties that... yes, can be temperamental to grow. You know, may need more calcium or something than some of the older varieties, but pretty much can grow them just about anywhere. You may need to put some soil amendments in.
So Wisconsin has all these apples. Where do they all go? Do we produce more than we eat within the state?
We do, and it's from my understanding, we only produce about a third of what Wisconsin consumes.
So where do all of all the apples that we grow in Wisconsin that we don't eat here, where do they end up? Where do they go?
Well, various places of Minnesota. There's Westcott that packs out apples, and they ship to, you know, nationwide.
Okay. We had a comment from somebody who said what they have a kindergartner at home, and she came home with a cutting and coloring project that showed growing apple trees from apple seeds. But that's really not how it works at an orchard, is it?
Well, not so much, but there are a lot of people. Doug Schuffelbein from the La Crosse area, he has thousands of trees that he has started from seeds. Majority of the trees now are grafted. Correct. You get a hardy root stock, and you cut it at an angle. You take a piece of scion wood or last year's growth, and you cut that at an angle, and then basically tape the two together and to form a new tree. You know, the hardy root stock is going to, you know, last the harsh winters, and the scion wood is going to carry say a Honeycrisp apple.
Mm-hmm.
But most apple trees are now grafted like that. There are still people that are planting seeds and trying to develop new apples or different apples.
Interesting. So are there some new markets that Wisconsin's apple growers are looking at?
Well, we definitely are trying to, you know, get into the buy local and trying to encourage people to buy local. Farmers markets, different, you know, go out to your local apple orchard. you know, try to support the community that is as well as supporting you.
Well, I did have a Honeycrisp apple this morning that was grown in Wisconsin. I'm not going to say where. And I'm about to have some homemade applesauce that it was made from apples that my son-in-law grew in his yard. So I'm doing my part to shop local here. Wayne, thanks so much for spending this time and sharing your information about apples, and best of luck to you as you continue to grow these delicious fruit.
Thank you, John.
Wayne Geist is the president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association and the owner of the Bushel and Peck Apple Orchard. More apples coming up. We're taking a trip to Bayfield for the annual Apple Festival. You plan to head that way this weekend, or you're going to your favorite orchard maybe in your part of Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. It's the Ideas Network, and this is The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. During the first full weekend of October every year, the tiny town of Bayfield, Wisconsin is invaded by some 50,000 visitors, all looking for apples or anything made from apples, and Bayfield has plenty of both. Do you plan on attending the Bayfield Apple Festival? Why? And is it? What are your favorite fall festivals? Let us know. Do you have a fall tradition that involves apples or visiting apple orchards? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guests in this portion of the program, Jim Hauser is owner and operator of Hauser's Superior View Farm. Dane Hauser is Jim's son and manages Apfel House Hard Cidery on Hauser's Superior View Farm. Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, we'll start with you. Tell us about the Bayfield Apple Festival. How many years has this been going on?
Well, it's 50-plus years now that it's been on. It's, as you said at the beginning, it's quite a tradition, and a lot of families have used to come when they were kids, and now they're bringing their kids, so it is steeped in tradition for sure.
Well, let's talk about some of those traditions. Dane, what are some of the traditional events for Apple Fest?
Well, we have, you know, our immediate family, our extended immediate family all come up. It's kind of like a mini family reunion in a way. And everyone gets a job, and we all kind of have fun at the same time.
And so what, you have a display someplace in Bayfield that shows off the products from your orchards?
Yep. People can come to the farm, and then we have four stands downtown in the festival.
And is it just apples you're selling, or do you have some apple products that you're also offering?
All sorts of products. Everything from 15 different varieties of apples, fresh apple cider, caramel apples, and now we just launched our new hard cidery this year, which is an Apple House cidery.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, there's like craft beer and craft distillery. People are inventing new ways to use various things to create delicious beverages. Tell us about your hard cider.
Yep, it's just like the microbrew craze. So the cidery, I'd say, craze is starting now. It has been starting for the last, I'd say, 10 years, but it's getting more popular. And you're using, you know, what you have on your farm, it's using what you have to make a new product, and it's kind of what people want. It's only available here. We don't wholesale anywhere yet. We're not quite that big, but it's just a new product that I think people will enjoy.
Jim, tell us a little bit about the history of your farm, of Hauser Superior View Farm. How long have you been in the apple business?
Well, our farm was started my great-grandparents moved up here and started the farm in 1908. But at the time before that, the turn of the century, Bill Knight had planted some trees up here. He was the first person to plant trees in Bayfield. And we still have some of those trees that produce apples yet. They're over 100 years old. But our farm has been here since 1908, or the family's been here since 1908. I'm the fourth generation, and my son Dane, who's on the phone with us, is the fifth generation to operate the or work in the operation of the farm here.
And there are a lot of other orchards in Bayfield. About how many? About how many orchards do you think
are
up there?
I believe now there's about eight. I believe.
Okay. Dane, why do you think that over 50,000 people travel up to Bayfield every year for the Apple Festival?
Well, good marketing. I got to give a shout out to the Bayfield Chamber. You know, they do a lot for this town and for the apple growers up here. They reach out pretty far with their marketing, and they do a good job. And, you know, people enjoy apples. They love the area. And it's just a good family event to attend.
Jim, how is the Apple Festival different from other fall festivals, do you think?
Well, I think it's different. One, the effect of the lake, the setting of where it's at is big. The other part is it's kind of the last festival of the year where people know, I mean, our fall season or late fall season is here, and they know not as nice weather is coming, I guess you'd say. So they kind of make it their last get-together outside, outdoor event, I guess you'd say, before the weather gets worse. So, and I think that's kind of unique in its way. And the color is the other part. A lot of people like to travel when the leaves are changing and take that in at the same time. So it kind of covers two things, the festival and the enjoy the outdoor scenery.
What's the apple crop been like this year up on the Bayfield Peninsula?
There's a nice, decent crop. It's not a huge crop of apples this year. We had a huge crop last year, so it's pretty common to have a little bit smaller crop the next year. But we have plenty of apples for everybody for Apple Fest, that's for sure.
And what's the most popular variety that you're putting on the market this year?
Well, it used to be Cortland's, used to be the most popular, but I think Honeycrisp has taken over the popularity part a little bit. We do have our own apple that we sell, own variety. It's called Hauser's Merlot, but that's only available here in Bayfield. But it's a nice combination of a sweet tart apple. But
So Dane, what advice do you have for people who are going to be making the trip to Bayfield for the festival?
I'd say visit, you know, the farms, go downtown. There's a lot of vendors, a lot of different products to sample. Enjoy the lake. Enjoy if you like, you know, big festivals and big crowds. It's right up your alley. So just have fun. You know, bring your family.
I always found it fascinating to find how many different things you can make from an apple. It's just every year they seem to come up with something new. We have a caller who wants to join us. Let's take Georgiana from Milwaukee. Georgiana, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. My question was, I'm wondering if apple growers always have beehives or bee colonies, or do they just count on the bees that are around?
It depends on where you're at. Here, we have a lot of wild bees yet. We have a lot of natural habitat. But you get in some areas where the orchards are bigger blocks and it's all it is apple trees, they bring in a lot of their own bees, or they bring bees in for pollination. But here, so far, we have a lot of wild lands, a lot of flowers and different things for bee habitat. So far, we've just relied on natural pollination, I guess you'd say.
Georgiana, thank you for that question. 800-642-1234, the number to call if you'd like to ask a question about apples or the Bayfield Apple Festival, or tell us about your favorite fall festival. It's all fair game this hour on the morning show. I'm with Jim Hauser, owner and operator of Hauser's Superior View Farm, and Dane Hauser is Jim's son and manages Apfel House Hard Cidery on Hauser's Superior View Farm. Five generations of Hauser's at this particular orchard. Jim, the success of the Bayfield Apple Festival, how important is that to the orchard growers and apple growers of your area?
Oh, it's very important. As I told other people, I mean, Apple Fest is whenever you can bring your customers to you rather than having to take your product and send it out somewhere, it makes a big difference. I mean, it's not just apple growers. It's the anybody connected to the Apple Festival, whether it's lodging from, you know, 50 miles away are full for the weekend and the weekend before, weekend after. So it's a huge impact on the whole area, not just the farmers, but on everybody, for everybody.
And there's actually what? There's kind of a driving tour you can take that takes you through the entire orchard area, correct?
County Road J goes around behind Bayfield, and the majority of the orchards are up on J. There's a couple that are not on J, but the majority on J. They have a cute little name on the chamber brochure called a Fruit Loop, but.
And of course, Bayfield is also known as an area where they grow a lot of berries, and there's even some commercial flowers grown there. It's what is it about the Bayfield Peninsula that makes it such a great place to grow stuff?
Well, a lot of it is the influence of the big body of water that we have out there. It delays our spring a little bit our weather in the spring is delayed a little bit because of the lake. And in the fall, it delays when we get our first hard frost or killing frost. It extends the season a little bit longer in the fall. And the other is our soil type here. We're blessed with some of the glacier, what would they call it, the sandy, rocky soil, because typically the native or the regular land around here is all clay, which mm-hmm. isn't as conducive to growing trees and fruits and berries. So we have a pretty good soil type to grow a lot of different crops, and the microclimate of the lake makes a big difference.
And Jim, what do you do with all your apples? Do they get shipped out of state? I mean, you can't eat all those right in Bayfield, right?
No, for Apple Fest, well, we start sometimes a little bit before festival. We start selling apples the week before. A lot of times it's the following weeks after. We still get a lot of traffic with people coming here after. We do have some, do supply some stores, whatever we don't use, I mean, a lot of times now we're repurposing it into cider to make hard cider, so we way to extend that season mm-hmm. and use those apples up, so they all get used one way or the other, so, you know.
Okay. All right. And Dane, when we come back, I want to talk some more about that hard apple cider.
Sure.
And find out a little bit about the market for that and how many apples it takes to make cider.
All right.
We'll continue our conversation about apples if you'd like to join it. What are your favorite apple varieties? What do you look for? What fall treats do you whip up when you get home with your local apples? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. It's an apple-y morning here on the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, today's the first day of the Bayfield Apple Festival, which runs all this weekend, and we're hearing all about what they do with apples up in Bayfield. Do you plan on attending the festival? Why? And what are your favorite fall festivals? Do you have any fall traditions that involve apples or visiting orchards? And what's your favorite apple orchard in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jim Hauser is owner and operator of Hauser's Superior View Farm. Dane Hauser is Jim's son and manages Apple House Hard Cidery on Hauser's Superior View Farm. Well, Dane, I want to come back to you about this apple cider thing. So
yeah.
How many apples does it take to make a batch of this cider, and how big is a batch?
Well, I mean, when you're pressing cider, I'd say it's roughly 3.5 gallons per bushel, and a bushel weighs 40 pounds. I mean, if you want to get down to per apple, I'd say it's about 30 to 40 apples per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bottling in 22-ounce bottles. So, you know, about a case. And, 2.5 cases is a bushel. So, you mm-hmm. know, a bushel gives you 24 bottles, roughly.
Are there some varieties of apples that are better for cider than others?
Yes, there is. Usually you want to use a blend of certain types of apples. You don't want to use one variety, even though there are some single varietal apples that make good ciders. A lot of times you're blending certain varieties to make a good tasting cider.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to give up any family secrets on what goes in the cider, so no worries there. Of course, we're here. The idea for this was, hey, the Apple Fest is this weekend. Let's talk about apples. How do the citizens of Bayfield react to all these people coming into town for the weekend? How do they cope with this, Dane?
I think they're just having fun. I mean, they're getting out, they're enjoying the weather, enjoying the farms, enjoying all different sorts of apple products. I mean, there's tons of things you can try, especially downtown. And I think people are just trying to have fun before, you know, we get the snow.
Yeah, let's not talk about the snow. One of the kind of cool things I always thought was the apple peeling contest. I was here there one year when a surgeon won it, and he was using a scalpel and I almost thought that was not necessarily fair, but you have to have they measure the longest continuous apple peel, and if you've peeled an apple, I mean that's a real challenge to do that. But that's one of the kind of fun things that you can go and watch, and
yep.
Of course the big parade
right
on Sunday
on the bandstand. You know, they do that right there in front of everyone, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and a lot of people are cheering them on. Let's take a quick phone call from Nancy, who's calling us from Grafton. Nancy, good morning.
Well, good morning. Up in Marathon County, on Highway 153, between Moe's and me in Stratford, there's a Canetta orchard up there. It is a fantastic, huge orchard, and they have repurposed an old barn up there. Beautiful wooden floors. They have dances, they have weddings, receptions. They have their kitchen. It's on the north side of 153, and it is absolutely fantastic.
All right. Nancy, thanks for sharing that. A lot of festivals all over Wisconsin, and Bayfield is certainly one of them. And so lots of places to go and see this fall. A lot of fall colors out right now, and so it's a great time to travel across the Badger State. Jim, if someone wants to grow their own apples, what advice would you give them?
Well, it's a little more work than people envision. I mean, it's not like planting a foliage tree and it just grows on its own. It's a little more work, a little more care. There's deer that'll eat it in the spring. There's a lot of I would just recommend looking into what it takes to maintain a tree before they plant it. And location is probably the most important part. The more sun, the better. So that's what I would recommend.
And soil type.
Yeah, I heard Dane laughing when you mentioned it's a little more work than you think. Jim Hauser, Dane Hauser, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Nice talking with you.
Jim Hauser is owner and operator of Hauser's Superior View Farm. Dane Hauser is Jim's son. He manages Apple House Hard Cidery on Hauser's Superior View Farm. Thanks to both of you. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum.
Days are shorter, sweaters are thicker, and leaves are lusher. We are in the heart of fall. For some people, this is the ideal time of the year. And for others, like writer Chris Hardy, autumn is a bit more complicated.
I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite at the end of another busy day. Every day I drive by that point of rest. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. The barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and the walls still have their faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside, buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand, silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of red, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun cast a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin. The timing may change slightly each year depending on the weather, but the palette of Mother Nature comes just the same. Daylight hours diminish, photosynthesis in trees slows and stops. Deciduous leaves, dominated by green chlorophyll the rest of the year, show yellow, orange, and brown from carotenoid pigments and the reds from anthocyanins. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism tracks the changing colors across the state in its weekly color report. Leaf peepers travel around the state to take in an art show unrivaled by any museum. The show builds, climaxes, and then fades away in a drab final scene as the browns of late fall turn into winter. It's also harvest time. Farmers hope for an Indian summer, marked by sunny, dry, and warm days after a killing frost. It extends the small window to bring in the crops. On our farm, the corn harvest is underway. The beauty of fall is tinged with some sadness. The shortened days and cooler temperatures are our annual reminder that we're growing older. Work undone, words unsaid, regrets remembered. The English poet John Keats captured the melancholy of fall in his poem To Autumn, published in 1820. The last stanza says, "Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them. Thou hast thy music too, while barred clouds bloom the soft dying day and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue. Then in a wayful choir the small gnats mourn among the river sallows borne aloft or sinking as the light wind lives or dies. And full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn. Hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft the redbreast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies." It was one of Keats' last works, inspired by a walk he took near Winchester in September 1819. He died less than a year after the poem was published. Life is often as tenuous as the withering stem that holds a leaf to a branch. We know not if we're in the autumn of our lives or whether spring will come. She teases us, autumn does, with her fleeting beauty. "Take my hand," she whispers through the rustling leaves. So we do, and we dance amidst the blazing landscape, leaving our cares and worries behind, if only for a while. Inhale autumn's beauty. Be still. Thank your maker. Enjoy the dance.
Chris Hardy is a writer based in Jackson County. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
You hear Wisconsin Life right here every Friday morning. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.